When the harvest has been gathered and all my work is done, when the last mile is traveled and I've sung my final song, if I'm called to give an answer at heaven's judgment seat, then let the blood of Calvary speak for me.
They'd write me down as righteous where no righteousness has been, shielding me from wrath and judgment as it covers all my sin. There's no work that I've accomplished, nor my goodness would I plead. Just let the blood of Calvary speak for me.
There may be some friends who witness and speak a word so kind, but their voices would seem feeble at such an awesome time. But there's a voice that calls for mercy ringing through eternity. Just let the blood of Calvary speak for me.
It will write me down as righteous where no righteousness has been, shielding me from wrath and judgment as it covers all my sin. There's no work that I've accomplished, nor my goodness would I plead. Just let the blood of Calvary.
How many of you watched this fiasco the last couple of weeks? Unbelievable how things happen, what's happening in the world. We watch it and we can't believe the audacity of people who say they love God. I'm sure they do. The Bible teaches us in John chapter 3 in verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen to this, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's the plan of God for the human being. And many people, they want that plan. They turn to that plan. Their eyes are opened up when they turn to it. They see the unbelievable, gross darkness as we get closer to the end. But the unbeliever doesn't see it. He doesn't see what the problem is. We can tell him what the problem is. And when we look at how we're getting closer to the end, we will see it getting more and more pronounced. Instead of gray, it will be black and white. You will not be wondering, how can that be? You will know why it's causing that. For you see, there was a time when we didn't exist. But there'll never be another time where we don't exist. How many of you know that? You are going to be conscious for the rest of eternity. There was a time when you were not aware of yourself. But that is over and done with. You're going to live for eternity, whether you're born again or not. The difference is, where will you spend your eternity? Will it be in the eternal lake of fire? Or will it be with God, enjoying the eternities and the good things that he has in store for us? We need to understand God so loved the world so that you and I can spend that eternity with him. He didn't come to condemn us. He came to seek and save that which is lost. And the only way you get into his kingdom is by preaching every week, reading your Bible at least once a day, making sure you go to prayer meeting. Is that the way you get into the kingdom of God? No, it's not. Remember, years ago, you weren't allowed to play hockey because it was a sin. Now they have hockey rinks. See, the ways of people, ways of going into heaven, change over the time. I remember Jimmy Swaggart said years ago, you couldn't go to a movie. Whatever moved was a sin if you saw it on a screen. Still, pictures were no problem. So it was a sin then. But now, look, everybody has movies in his hands. So sin has changed over the years. The way into heaven has changed. Stay away from a movie, you go to heaven. No, with the word of God, it has not changed. It's still by the blood of Jesus, regardless how and what you did or what your ancestor did. It's the blood of Jesus that gets you into the kingdom. But will all people turn to this goodness, this God who wants to save us? No, they will not. And today I'll teach on this interesting subject. But before I get into this, let's rise and ask the Lord for blessing. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your grace. I thank you for the word of God. You will bless us today. Open our hearts to the truth of what's happening. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. In Isaiah chapter 26 in verse 10, let favor be shown to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness in the land of the upright. Will he deal unjustly and will not behold the majesty of the Lord? I want you to take a close look at this scripture. Let favor be shown to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness. We saw it. Anybody who watched Donald Trump's speech he had, State of the Union, everything was positive. I mean, regardless what he talked about, it was positive. Jobs are up. Everything's going good. I mean, this country couldn't go better than it has, than it is going now. But you look at the Democrat side, what do you see? Frowns and disappointment. Very interesting. Safati has something very interesting. I got it from Brother Steve. Listen to this. The majority of New Hampshire Democrats would prefer a meteorite extinguish all human life than Trump get reelected. Show favor to the wicked, yet they will reject it. And I've heard them say, Bill Maher, we'd rather have a recession than get Trump elected. Trump is not an angel, but at least he puts, he promises something and he does something. He made Jerusalem is now the capital of Israel. He brought the embassy there. So he's for the Jew. He's for the Jewish people. So that's a good sign. You know what else is a good sign? He wants to get rid of abortion. That is a good sign. So there must be something godly in that person. Even though sometimes when you listen to him, he sounds like a Hutterite. He talks whatever is in his mind and that's it. Interesting, interesting. So let favor be shown to the wicked, yet will they not learn righteousness. Listen to this one. How many of you have studied the 1,000-year reign? It's going to be awesome on this planet. I mean, for 1,000 years, Satan will be bound, and the prosperity is going to be on imagination. You will be able to go see God in Jerusalem on a yearly basis or on a weekly basis, as often as you want to go to Jerusalem. For those who haven't been in Israel, you'll have a chance during the 1,000-year reign, whenever you want. And you know what? The everything will be perfect. There's not going to be any doctors to kill you. There's not going to be any policemen to throw you into jail. Everything's going to be perfect, run by God. But at the end of the 1,000-year reign, what's going to happen? Satan will be released. I don't know why. God never explained it to me. Maybe it's none of my business yet. But Satan is released, and he goes, and he talks to the nations of the earth. And guess if many of them, millions of them, follow him to come against God, to destroy him. Fire will come from heaven and will destroy them all. Let favor be shown to the wicked, yet will they not learn righteousness. You sometimes talk to a person about the saving grace of Jesus Christ, and they don't want to hear about it. I was watching this little movie where this sister was trying to tell her brother about Jesus, about how he saves. And they came out of China. They were worshiping Buddha, and the little kid had found out about Jesus. And her brother said, "I'm not interested. I don't want to hear it." Favor, there's favor with Jesus. What's the favor? First of all, you escape eternal damnation. For we are all under sin, dead in trespasses and sin. And Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost. That is the most amazing favor that we could have. And then he piles it on top with a joy and peace, and in many cases, prosperity and tranquility. So, will people turn to God? No. Let favor be shown to the wicked, yet will they reject righteousness. Unbelievable. And here's what's going to happen because of their rejection of righteousness. The Bible teaches us that one day the salt of the earth will be removed. Who's the salt of the earth? It's those who accept his righteousness. It's those who accept this kingdom of God. These are the salt of the earth, and then God will remove them, and then the decay will set in. And it's only going to take 7 years to destroy this planet. Listen to what Isaiah chapter 24 in verse 3 tells us. The land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled, for the Lord has spoken this word. The earth mourned and faded away. The world languished and faded away. The haughty people of the earth do languish. Very interesting. I want to read it to you out of the Living Bible. It tells it like this. The earth mourns and dries up. How many of you know that during the tribulation, water is going to be very, very scarce? And what water there will be turned to blood. It says the land wastes away and withers. Even the greatest people on earth waste away. The earth suffers for the sin of its people. They have twisted God's instructions, violated his laws, and broken his everlasting covenant. That's what it's telling us. Therefore, a curse consumes the earth, not global warming. A curse consumes the earth because they have broken the everlasting covenant. The Bible teaches us because of the sin of the people, the land will vomit out its inhabitants. Therefore, a curse consumes the earth. Its people must pay the price for their sin. instead of allowing Jesus to pay, they have to pay. They are destroyed by fire, and only a few are left alive. And the Lord says, if we don't come back, no flesh will be left. In Isaiah chapter 24 and verse 5, it says this, the earth also is defiled under its inhabitants. Therefore, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinances, broken the everlasting covenant, therefore has the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left. That is the future of this planet with the unbeliever in it. One guy once asked me, as I was driving truck and I had led him to the Lord, where is the safest place to be, in Texas? I said, no. The safest place to be during that time is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is no safe place. Satan can find you wherever you are. The Bible teaches us that during that time, the demonic realm will be unleashed on this planet, and you can dig yourself a basement on the sly where you can go and hide. The demonic realm will find you. You can go into the Rocky Mountains, dig a hole, hide yourself there. The demonic realm will find you, because to them, matter doesn't matter. That's kind of an interesting word. They can see through walls. They can walk through walls because they're spirit. You can already see the demonic realm live on TV. How many of you saw Chuck Schumer chasing his pet devil off the chair there? Did you see that? I couldn't believe my eyes when I looked at it. He was chasing his pet devil off. Now you know where he gets his instructions from. So the earth is defiled. It's broken down because they're changing the laws. Look at the laws that have been changed. Same-sex marriage. Killing the unborn by the millions. Not only killing them in abortions, but already allowing them to be born. And then it's up to the woman's decision to see whether they should kill that little child. Men's hearts have become cold. Why? Because of the false prophets. Oh, we just come from a blob in the ocean. We have evolved to where we become this fine-looking creature. It took millions and millions and millions of years, but look at me, hallelujah. I am so beautiful and wonderfully made by evolution. Isn't that incredible? They are listening to false prophets. I was created by God. The Bible teaches us God knew me in the belly of the womb of my mother. Even before my bones were knit together, he saw everything and understood everything. That's where we come from. But the wicked reject it. They don't want to know about God. Now listen to Isaiah. Now listen to what's going to happen. In Isaiah chapter 24 and verse 21, it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high. That's the demonic realm. The Bible teaches us that they will mingle themselves with mankind, but will not mix together. If you know where that stands, go through the book of Daniel. And the kings of the earth upon the earth, they will mingle themselves. They will make an alliance with one another. And it's already happening. Just study a little bit on the Roman Catholic Church, and you will find out that it's been going on for years. It's just kept from the public. It says, the kings of the earth upon the earth, and they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and shall be shut up in prison, and after many days shall they be visited. What does this mean? At the end of the tribulation, they shall all be brought together and thrown into hell. And after the 1,000-year reign, God will bring them out to be judged. The great white throne judgment. What happens to Satan after the great tribulation? The bugger gets off with a little off better than the Antichrist and the false prophet. I don't know why God shows him favor. He just locks him up for 1,000 years. Where the Antichrist and the false prophet are suffering. Maybe he's suffering too. But at the end of 1,000 years, he's been released. And he gathers the people of this planet together. And they come up against the camp of God, but it's not even going to be a fight. God is going to destroy them. And in Revelation chapter 20, it tells us, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they shall be tormented day and night for how long? 50 years. How long do the Brennamites say it's going to last? 200 years maybe. How about the Jehovah's Witness? They don't believe in hell at all. And they don't believe in heaven. Only 144,000 go there. So they're a hopeless case. No, the Bible teaches us they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. That's a long time. They're used to, you know how they used to make us behave when we were kids? They would tell us this. You know how long hell is? How long you're going to be in hell if you don't behave? There is a big mountain, a granite mountain as big as the earth. And once every 1,000 years, a bird comes along and wipes his beak on that granite. And after some billions and trillions of years, maybe the granite will be worn down. But eternity has just begun. Eternity is something your mind cannot comprehend. It's not billions of years or trillions of years. It goes on forever and ever and ever. Never more to stop. For those people who don't know God, this is why Jesus said, eternity is too long for you to be in the eternal lake of fire. I came to seek and save that which is lost. Come on to me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you can find rest for your soul. Jesus came to save us from that awful, terrible place that is waiting for the wicked, for the unbelieving wicked. They don't want God, and God has a place for them, not because he wants to send them there. It grieves his heart to send his creation into the eternal lake of fire. But they got to be somewhere out of sight where they're going to be contained by eternal flames. Not cleansed, contained for the rest of eternity. And God made sure they're never going to interfere with his plans again. They will be tormented day and night. Now listen to Revelation chapter 20. What's going to happen to those who reject Christ, for those who have rejected him? And I believe God doesn't allow people to go into hell through deception. I don't believe that. I believe every person's eyes will be open before he goes into eternity. He will see who God is, and he will see who Satan is. He will make a choice. We'll have to make a choice. But the wicked, if they go into the eternities, they will stay wicked. That's what the Bible teaches. If they don't make that choice, then God can do nothing but accept them to go to their choice. It says, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things that were written in the books according to their works. Do you want to know where you're going to end up after you die? Just read the Bible. The instructions are there on what gives you eternal life and what leads you into eternal damnation. This same book called the Bible is going to be used as judge. The Lord Jesus Christ told the disciples, I'm not going to judge you. Or he told the Pharisees, I'm not going to judge you, but Moses, whom you say you love, he will judge you. Will Moses stand there, you to the left, you to the right? No, that's not going to how it's going to happen. It's the law of Moses that's going to be opened, and people will be judged out of that law. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt be no false witness. Thou shalt not covet your neighbor's whatever he has. And we're all guilty of that. So if we don't turn to this forgiveness that God wants to give us, if we don't turn to that sacrifice, the judgment bar of God is strict. People who reject him have coveted a neighbor's stuff. They have lied. They have committed murder in their hearts. They will have to spend their eternity in the eternal lake of fire. It tells us in Revelation chapter 20, and the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. So if somebody preaches out there that we're somehow going to be exterminated and after 20 years or after 40 years, forget about it. You're coming back whether you like it or not. For those of you listening by the internet, whether you cremate yourself or whatever you do to yourself, you're coming back to be judged. And what does the judge say? They were judged, every man according to their works. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. And this is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I didn't write this. This was written before I was a Christian. And when I read it, I was scared. Why? Because I knew I wasn't ready. I knew I was a sinner. I knew I was full of hatred and bitterness and unkindness and ungentleness. Nothing's changed since before I was a Christian, but now I'm a Christian. Now I've accepted the antidote that'll keep me out of the lake of fire. I look at it and I see with compassion people who are just skimming along their way, straight into hell, not giving it a thought. That ought not to be. They should read the Bible, because we're fast running out of time. There's so many religions out there who are deceiving people into eternity, and they don't give it a second thought. When somebody dies, they have a funeral, and they play with the dead as if it was something to be played with. No, it's very, very, very serious. If a person dies without Christ, he is gone for eternity in the eternal lake of fire. They need to turn to Christ. So for us here, for you listening to the internet, take a moment to think about it. Today could be your last day on earth. All the good things that you do, they don't amount to nothing, because all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And what's a filthy rag? We look it up in the Bible and you'll find out. But he that turns to Christ, he will find joy and peace in his heart, because God will forgive him. He that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. That's the beauty of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And for those of us who turn to him, can look forward to an eternity where we're going to be celebrating forever and ever. What will we celebrate? we will celebrate the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let the Lord open your heart to this and make you a blessing to your neighbor. Amen.
Lagin ba?